All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Hey, welcome to Veterans Radio. It's not just Dale Thronberry, it's also Jim Falzone is joining us today to celebrate our 19th birthday here on Veterans Radio, and we're so glad that you're available to join us. So, Jim, welcome.
Well, it's great to be here as we move into year 20. Wow, who can believe we're doing that?
That is true. That is true. For all of you listeners who have been following us for the last 19 years, I just want to let you know that the original partners in this whole thing were Ken Rogge, who was the Air Force, Bob Gould, who was Army, and Gary Lilly, who was a Navy CB. And I talked to Bob today, and he's doing well. Thank you very much for people who wanted to know how he was doing. And unfortunately, Gary is no longer available. He's gone, actually, which is kind of sad. And Ken is very busy with the state Veterans Affairs offices. So we're kind of back here. And Jim has joined in to become another partner in Veterans Radio. And I'm very happy to have him here. And so if you want to give us a call today, which you can, please do, 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. We'll get you on the air and see how you feel about Veterans Radio. So there's a lot of things going on out there. The first thing we got to do, though, is I always have to do this, is I want to thank our sponsors. We can't do this without them. So the number one on the list is Legal Help for Veterans, a.k.a. Jim Falzone, who has been a supporter of Veterans Radio, I think, almost right from the beginning, Jim.
And yeah, pretty close, I think.
I think so. And the idea here is that, of course, Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. Give Legal Help for Veterans a call at 800-693-4800 or go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for the certification of veteran-owned businesses. If you want to do business with the government or so many corporations as a veteran-owned business, you got to get certified. And these are the guys that can do it for you. So you can go to their website, that's nvbdc.org, or you can give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information, you can go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. And our local veterans organizations who have been supporters from day one. We really love these folks. The Irwin Press Corps and American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Thank you guys so much. We also want to thank so many people out there who have come to believe in the cause, I guess you could say, and have been supporting us over the years. This year has been a banner year for Veterans Radio. For those of you that are not aware of it, Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America. And Veterans Radio America is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So your donations are tax deductible, but you need to talk to your financial advisor to make sure of that. So with that done, Jim, what's going on in the world that you can think of?
Well, there's a lot of stuff. This is the veterans' busy time of the year, right? Now through the end of the year, certainly. And with a couple of things I want to make sure we talk about and give a heads up to. Next Friday, November 18th, the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor will induct its fourth class into the Hall of Honor in Lansing, Michigan. And this is a way for to recognize Michiganders who have served either because of their active duty service, they get in on the military side, where a lot of us, you know, we were just regular Joes serving. We got out, but maybe we stayed true to the service to others and did something great on the veterans side. So also veterans are being inducted into the hall. So some great folks. Go ahead and use your favorite search engine and put in Michigan Military Veterans Hall of Honor. The website will pop up. It also is a 501c3. And look at that program in Lansing on Friday, November 18th at 12:30 p.m. Runs about 2 hours to get everybody in. There's going to be some fantastic stories. And I just wanted to pass along that as something that's available here in the Michigan area.
Well, there's so many activities, as you mentioned, it with being Veterans Day just last Friday. And we, many of us went to a lot of different celebrations, and it is a celebration. Veterans Day is somebody was talking to me about, how do you greet a veteran on Veterans Day? Has a happy Veterans Day, have a great Veterans Day. And I think either one of those is acceptable. And so we got to do things at the local college. There was a program there. There were programs around a number of different schools in the area. And I know that some people made it to, all day affair, in addition to being able to eat free pretty much everywhere, which was kind of awesome for once.
Yeah, they don't let you drink free, though, Dale.
They don't do that.
They learned that was a bad idea and very costly.
That's kind of interesting, because as I mentioned earlier when we were talking before we went on the air, that anniversary came up again
for the Marine Corps
247 years. And so I received an email from a writer at which one was this one? This is from Military Times. It was from the Military Times. And it says, and I thought this was kind of interesting, because it said 8 Military Corps birthday survival tips. Anybody who knows a Marine, you need those. So it says, Semper Fi, Devil Dogs. It's that time of year, a day when the U.S. military's most spirited branch throws down to celebrate its founding. As the Marine Corps hits birthday number 247 this year, its members will no doubt take to pubs, clubs, and evidently highly trafficked expressways to honor their beloved branch, November 10th, 1775 founding. If you happen to be a Marine planning a party, or you did plan a party, number one on the list was to prepare a hearty meal and to purchase several bottles of Pedialyte. Your body will thank you in the morning. I didn't even think about that. That's cool. Iron your dress blues. Nobody likes a wrinkled blood stripe. Practice saying oorah. I can't even do it right. I know it's,
oorah.
It's not guttural enough from my understanding. In the mirror every day, you want to hit the right intonation just right so everybody knows you're legit. That's why when I do it, it's not legit, because, I don't know how to do that. Scheme with your battle buddies on a plan of attack to ensure the acquisition of a table at your favorite watering hole. Assume you're in full regalia. You'll want someplace to hang your cover, gloves, cape, or sword when the revelry turns raucous. If not, it'll at least be nice to have a spot to sit and sip water. I won't go into the next line. it's something about drinking something and then listening to Kenny Loggins songs. Better yet, strategically plan to visit the Ton Tavern to celebrate like the Marines of yore. There's a rebuilt Ton Tavern in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Evidently, what happens at the Ton Tavern will likely stay in the collective consciousness and be celebrated for the next 247 years, no matter how dubious it is. Say a prayer to His Holiness, Chesty Puller, to gain the strength necessary to get through the night. And when you get home, and you're sitting on your couch reminiscing of what happened as you drift off into dreams, it says, of General Mattis. Rinse, repeat for the 248th Marine Corps birthday in 2023. So happy birthday, Marine Corps. You guys, men and women, you deserve it. You are probably the most, battle-ready organization that we've got. You always seem to be sent in first.
I like the language, most spirited branch. I think that sums it up. certainly a lot of cakes were cut with ceremonial swords. And grog was drank by all, so that's a good thing. There's a more serious day, though, and it's actually today. So we go from the Marine Corps birthday to Veterans Day, and sort of a new tradition is building that the Sunday after Veterans Day is called Warrior Call Day. There's a national movement about, and you can find more about it at warriorcallday.org, to encourage veterans to call a buddy. Use that day, that Sunday after Memorial Day, to check in on somebody. The goal clearly is to reduce the number of suicides that we see among veterans. And I think while we can laugh and have fun about the Marine Corps birthday, I think the Warrior Call Day is an excellent new tradition to begin.
I think so. I know that the American Legion had had put out something similar that earlier in the year, you know, to call your buddy or and, you know, just check on them. And then I agree. I think that's something that we all should do. It's funny. I had a guy I was in Vietnam with, and for whatever reason, he was just stuck in my mind all week. And I have not been in contact with him for years and years. And his name is Larry Gunter. He lives out in Texas. And every once in a while, I would see something on Facebook that would come, you know, across with his name on it. So I and his birthday was yesterday, I think it was. And so I think I posted something on Facebook, which is always kind of an adventure for me anyway. But I had found a picture of Larry and I, and so I sent it off to him. And I heard back this morning going, "Where did you find that?"
Well, it's really so much different because in the, you know, before the age of cell phone cameras, getting a photo snapped and generally, you know, in our vintage black and white, it then ended up in a, it ends up in a box somewhere. And unlike what happens today in digital sharing of every photograph of every celebrity, you know, these really bring up old memories that you haven't touched on in a long time. So that's a great idea to stay in touch, to find as you stumble or find those old photographs, to share them back with your buddies.
I just thought it was really kind of cool because there was one picture that I found and had one of our barbecue. Well, they weren't barbecues; they were just steak fries, and we would have a steak dinner about every quarter. It seemed like when I was in Vietnam, and so they would bring in the steaks, and they would have the old half 55-gallon drums, you know, and just pour lighter fluid on them, and they all tasted like lighter fluid. But so there was this picture included about 10 or 12 pilots all sitting around, you know, eating their meal, you know, and they're drinking an adult beverage, and you can see people pointing each other as they're talking to each other. And it's just cool. So I sent it off to Larry and to some other people from the company I was in and said, "Okay, can you identify who everybody is?" Because, you know, when we did those things, many of us didn't even know our real names.
Yeah.
Everybody had a nickname or a name that you can't repeat on the radio. And so I think that is something that is great. I encourage people out there to, you know, look around on some of these social media platforms, because you'll probably find maybe the company you were in or the organization that you might have been in. If you were if you were a Marine, I'm sure there are plenty of sites out there for Marines or the Coast Guard or Army, particular units. I know that my battalion has a not a website, but it has a group on Facebook. And so that's where I started looking out. In fact, that's how I found out that the Yankee Air Museum, here's a plug for another organization here in the Ann Arbor area, that the Yankee Air Museum now has a functional flying UH-1 Huey that belonged to one of our sister companies, the 240th Assault Helicopter Company, the Greyhounds, which was sponsored by or had permission from Greyhound Buses to use their logo.
Oh.
There's a point of history that you might be able to get a fear drink out of.
Well, it also reminds you that your insurance company won't let you fly those anymore, Dale. So don't even think about it.
No, they won't. They told me I could if I passed the physical.
Like I said. Well, another thing we should mention: we made some fun of our crayon eating Marine friends out there. If we insult them enough, maybe they'll call in. This is also the time of year to begin thinking about the Marine Corps Reserve's Toys for Tot program. So they will be collecting toys beginning about now until 2 weeks before Christmas for distribution to those who are less fortunate and in need of some Christmas cheer. You can go again on to your favorite internet search engine and put in Marines or Toys for Tots near me, and drop-off spots will be provided to you. And if you, with a little bit of planning, it's a little too late now, but for next year, you could plan on being, you know, your business or your church could plan on being a drop-off spot for the Toys for Tots programs. We've done it now at Legal Help for Veterans for a couple of years and invited the community to come by and drop off toys and for the employees to do the such. And it's amazing. You fill up a small van worth of toys and take it to the distribution center. It's a lot of good cheer for everybody. Everybody who donates, I think, feels great about what they're doing. And certainly there's a receiving end of it too. So think about the Marines, Toys for Tots, and go find a local site that you can drop off and be part of that tradition, which has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, that's certainly a great organization that they have out there, and a great opportunity for you to share. I know that at the local, I think it's the local VFW, and probably many of the other local veteran service organizations, there was a box already at the front door for Toys for Tots, and I saw one someplace else. I can't remember where it was. But yeah, they're out there. They're out there. And these kids, you know, there are so many organizations that are helping veterans and helping veterans' children. These are some of the organizations that we've had on our program. Fallen Warriors is one that I'm thinking of, where they give out scholarships to children of fallen warriors, all types of different programs that are available to help your veteran friends and their families. One of the things that we always talk about here on Veterans Radio is that while we were in the service, we always had everybody's back. You never left anybody on the field. You never left a wounded person anywhere. And we're finding now that we are also watching out for each other now that we're civilians, and now that we can, we can take the time to pay attention to them, especially this generation of veterans that is coming home now. It's so important that they realize that they are welcomed back into the community, and that we realize that there are transitional issues that everybody goes through. But I think they've got a really great support system going. I was talking to a bunch of them yesterday at the local community college, and they've got student veterans organizations pretty much at every school now. A VA representative in there.
Well, we've talked to this year. We talked to the new chief operating officer for Team Red, White, and Blue, John Follins, talking about what they're going to be doing, expanding. They were the recipient of a very large award from I won't get her name right, but unfortunately, I remember her ex-husband, right? From Jeff Bezos' wife.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
McKenzie, and I'm not sure her last name. She gave a big award to Team Red, White, and Blue to let them expand. John Founts was one of the guys charged with developing the program to spend that money. And I think that's a good example of today's modern veteran having organizations which are more maybe tuned in to what they're available and interested in doing. And I think those are the kind of stories that we bring you on Veterans Radio that you're just not going to hear anymore from other places. So I think we're doing you a service in that regard to our new veterans as well. So, which gets me to ask you, Dale, what were some of the stories that you did this year as you reflect back on the past year that you think are worth reminding people of?
There's always our foreign affairs expert, Rebecca Grant. She's usually on our program 3 or 4 times a year just to catch up what's going on, and she's an Air Force insider, and she knows what's going on with the government, and she just explains things in such easy terms for everybody to understand as far as weaponry, what is going on, you know, with China, North Korea, what's going on in the Ukraine, and all of those different things. And so it's important that we, you know, that you tune in. And, you know, one of the things to point out to you is not only are all of our programs archived on Veterans Radio, but also we've got now, what, Jim, you've got 400 or 500 podcasts that are...
Yeah, you know, we're north of 500, yes.
So, you know, you're looking at a total of about 1,500 programs that are available for you to go into. You just go into our website, you know, go up into this little search window and type in somebody's name. And if we've talked to them, they're there. And I was thinking of the programs, you know, we talked with Bing West earlier back in the wintertime about his books. He's another guy that knows foreign policy, and he's written a number of books. One of his was called The Strongest Tribe, and it was about the war in Iraq. And, you know, he's kind of given us an indication that whoever the strongest tribe is the one that's going to end up taking over in Iraq. The same thing in Afghanistan. And sure enough, we see that happening. You know, we've had the opportunity to talk to pilots. We've talked to infantry folks. We've talked to Navy people, nurses, women pilots, which is always kind of cool for some of us to, you know, that I'll never forget that the Blue Angels were here for the, Thunder Over Michigan. That's put on by the Yankee Air Museum, which I mentioned earlier on. And the Blue Angels flew in, and, you know, they're all, you know, it's there for press day, and you get there and all the pilots are getting out of their airplanes and stuff, their jets. And then, you know, this woman gets out of one, and it's just, you know, so times have changed so dramatically. It's great to see that. And I was talking to another woman pilot that I know, and she says, that's because we just can't, you know, we have the coordination to do this stuff.
Finally, they're smarter than you are too, Dale. So,
yeah, but we've run into a few of those, but of course that's not hard to do. It seems like,
but I think, you mentioned, Dr. Rebecca Grant on foreign affairs. And one of the ones that I remember from this year was talking to John Spence on urban warfare. And how Ukraine and how what Russia's doing in Ukraine is changing all kind of backwards, but changing all the rules of urban warfare from what was done in Iraq and Afghanistan, very surgical, very methodical, to this, we just pound it to rubble approach. We don't care if we're hitting hospitals or schools or theaters. Russia's rewriting those for the worse, I think, but it's always good to be able to talk to and hear from those kind of experts. And that's one of the things, again, we're able to do here on Veterans Radio. And so I know Rebecca talked a lot about Ukraine because it's the story this year, but listening to John Spencer was interesting how it's rewriting the rules for urban warfare.
It is important. And by the way, those of you out there listening, if you'd like to get in on the conversation today, we would love to have you call us. The number here is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. You know, one of the things that we do a lot about on here on Veterans Radio is that we talk about veteran-owned businesses. And, but it's got a note. My brother-in-law is on the phone. Excuse me while I take this call, folks.
This may turn into a family fight over Thanksgiving, so let's find out.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Great, Dale. How are you?
I am terrific. It's great to hear your voice. How are things in California?
We're doing well. We're remodeling the guest house, so when you get free and want to come to California, we got a place for you to stay.
Awesome. I think it started snowing here in Ann Arbor yesterday. So, you know, don't be surprised if we're not out there next week.
Yeah, I understand that. Weather here right now is 70 degrees and sunny.
That's why we came to
California.
I know. I just want to tell our audience a little bit about Bob Finney here. Bob is my brother-in-law. And he is also a retired, what did you get to? Commander? Captain?
Captain.
Captain. Holy mackerel.
Navy captain, right.
I have to salute you there. So, yeah, you spent how long in the Navy and in the reserves?
I had about 4 years active duty and ended up with a total of 31.
That's great. I can remember you. Bob is about 11, 12 years older than I am. And he took me on this ship when he was stationed in Norfolk, Virginia, when I was 14, 12, I don't know, something like that. And I was so impressed because everybody's saluting everybody, you know, all over the place. And the Navy's got those darn dress whites and so forth, but it was such a great experience. It kind of motivated me that, you know, if I got the call, I wasn't going to miss out on that.
I got you. So, well, you anyway, say hi to Jane, and here I put Scarlett on the phone too, just to say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Scarlett. How are you? This is our world famous playwright now.
World famous.
See, we're giving everybody a plug here on Veterans Radio today.
I'll take it.
Yeah, and so your play opened in New York, right?
Yes, it did.
It did. And can you remind
me? Yes, it did in May.
In May.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we weren't traveling yet. We're getting ready to travel. We haven't done any lately. So anyway, that's awesome. So I want to also remind our audience that Bob Finney and Scarlett were one of the very first supporters of Veterans Radio. When we first got off we were trying to get off the ground. They made a very nice, generous donation to help us along. So I want to thank both of you very much. It's so great to hear your voice too.
I can't believe it's been 20 years.
I can't either. I can't.
And it's a great
20-year anniversary.
Yeah. You know, it's a great service that you're doing, I think. Very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we like to think we try to spread the word, you know, we tell a story of veterans and what they have done in the past and, you know, how to help them out, you know, the benefits, what's going on in the local area. In fact, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I talked about something out in your area that was in San Diego. I know you're north of there, but San Diego had this boat parade, which I thought was great.
Oh, that's cool.
Everybody decorated their boats for Veterans Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Wow, they usually do that on Christmas.
Okay.
Well, they'll probably, you know, they found out it was so popular, they did it again.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Well, a week from Saturday, we go to war again.
Oh, that war.
Yeah.
I should mention also that
that's when Bob divorced your wife for one weekend.
Bob went to that school down south of Ann Arbor. And,
as
my wife did. Yes. So now the whole world knows that I live in a divided house one weekend a year. Anyway, thank you both so much for calling
in.
You're
welcome. We're glad to let you go now. Take care.
All right.
Go
say say hey to all the kids. All right. Thanks, Bob. Thank you, Scarlett. Bye-bye.
Dale, you have Navy in the blood, and you always screw up when you interview Navy guys. You're always lost for what's going on. You got to use your brother-in-law.
He's my expert. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't get in the Navy. No, when I got my draft notice, I said, uh-oh. And then I went down to the Navy recruiter and they had a 6-month waiting period. And after I had passed my physical, I asked the guy, I said, how much time have I got? And he said, about 6 weeks. I said, well, the Navy's out. The Air Force was the same thing. That's how I ended up in the Army. Well, the Marines wanted me to go yesterday as an officer.
Yeah, they always do. They need to snag you before you start thinking. But we've got another guest on the line, I see. Go ahead, Dale, take it.
Okay, so we do. We have a guest. You know, one of the things we do like to do at Veterans Radio is we like to promote, you know, events that are going on. And as Jim mentioned, you know, the Military Hall of Fame, this thing is coming up next week in Lansing. We've also got something else that's coming up next week, and that's over in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And joining me on right now, line right now is Stephanie Shannon. And Stephanie is, wait a second, gotta find my note here. She's United States Army retired, and she's the founder of Michigan Women Veterans Empowerment. So Stephanie, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate this opportunity to share.
Well, I think it sounds like a fun activity that you've going. So what is going on in Grand Rapids next week?
Oh, we're planning on the 19th, and we're calling all veterans, all eras, and not just veterans. We're calling their family members, their support person, the service dog, the youth, the grandchildren. We're really trying to rally up the veterans community as a whole to come out at the Santa Parade. It's the 101st parade there in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which happens to be my hometown. Over 30,000 spectators to be expected. We're getting together. We're going to rally together. It's called Boots on the Ground. And we're going to walk, and we're going to hand out candy, flags, and do positive things and bring a positive vibe to the community there. So we're doing that. It starts at 10 a.m. However, we're staging at about 9 o'clock. So if anyone is interested in participating in that, if you are not able to walk, we do have vehicles for some veterans that are, you know, not able to do that, or family members. So we do have that opportunity for us to get together and just kind of build and rally up the positive vibes for the holidays.
Okay, so if we were, I'm looking at the email that we where we connected with each other. And you've got a couple of websites that are going on. Well, number one is EmpowerMichiganWomenVets.com. What is that organization doing?
Michigan Women Veterans Empowerment is a faith-based organization that's been established since 2015. I'm the founder and CEO of that organization, and we've done conferences since 2016 in the Southeast region. We've done a rally event for women veterans. We've done various type of events in regards to helping veterans that are homeless, rallying and bringing blankets and things like that. So we look at empowering and advocating for the veteran and try, as we said before, as I just said, you know, empower the family, bring the family into it, the people that support veterans. So we've been doing that since 2016. We are also out. My headquarters is in Flint, Michigan, in Genesee County. And we have a program called Dirt Therapy. It's a veterans and youth agriculture, agribusiness program. And we teach youth and veterans. We work together on how to, from the seed to the table, and also the business and entrepreneurship and financial literacy part of the program. We've been doing that since 2017. In Flint, we've had gardens before in Detroit and in Southfield. Most of our events in the last few years before the pandemic were in Southfield, Michigan, at the Southfield Parks and Rec Department. But since the pandemic has been back in active, we're trying to do, you know, more family on it, where you still have your space and, you know, not close quarters and smaller events, to basically rally together and support the veteran as a whole.
I think it's great what you're doing. You had another organization that I saw was called Battling the Storm Within. Yes. What's that one about?
That's actually my book. I'm an Amazon bestselling author.
I
wrote
that
book in 2014. I'm a sexual assault survivor. You know, military sexual trauma is an epidemic in the military and in the veteran community. 1 in 3 women are sexually assaulted, and 50% of the victims are men. And I lived 20 years undiagnosed. There was no assistance for me at the time when I got out. I was in the Desert Storm War. There was no women's clinic or any system of reporting. So when I did report it, they told me it was all in my head. So I struggled for 20 years. I worked as a social worker, got my degree in psychology, and I started assessing and seeing myself for some of the PTSD symptoms. But I ended up becoming a homeless veteran. My doctor took me off on stress leave. I entered the Ann Arbor VA homeless veteran program, and that's where I started my healing. It actually was my rock bottom, but it was actually an opportunity for me to get the mental health and medical and things like that that I needed, that I was not getting. So releasing my book, it came from actually when I was in therapy. And I tell a lot of veterans that experience any type of trauma, prolonged exposure therapy is something that I invested in, and it really helped me to overcome a lot of the things I was dealing with. So since then, I released my book, and I started going out speaking and doing expos, and I was seeing so many other veterans struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts and whatnot. So that's why I started the nonprofit, because I wanted to help other veterans like me, and I felt as if there was a woman veteran that I could relate to And just one person during my struggle, it wouldn't have been that difficult. So I want to be that for my brothers and sisters and aunts.
Well, you know, there are so many people. There are so many people out there like you, Stephanie, that I think that's what's so great right now is that, you know, everybody wants to help. And, you know, there's, I hate to say that there's really no excuse, you know, for some of these veterans who are having such difficulty not to be able to reach out somewhere and have, you know, get the help that they need. And so I want to thank you very much for what you're doing. I encourage people out in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area to go out and check out this parade. It sounds like it'll be kind of cool. And I definitely would like to have you back on at some point to talk more about, you know, your organization, you know, especially the suicide with women veterans.
Yes. I would appreciate any opportunity to share and also provide a network. Or we have definitely, since we've been out here the past few years, really established a strong network of other veterans that have helped that, you know, people that really know it and get it and are advocates. So that's one thing that is good, having platforms like yours and then, you know, sharing it and posting it on their social media and bringing exposure to what has happened, but also providing solutions.
Right, right. So thank you very much, Stephanie Shannon. Thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
You guys take care.
Dale, I really think that highlights, again, some of the work that we're able to do on Veterans Radio, where we get to talk to a wide segment of the veteran population. So we get to talk to women vets. We get to talk to Hispanics and African-American vets about their unique struggles that the rest of us maybe didn't have or didn't see or didn't know what was going on. So I do think, again, whether it's on our Sunday night programs like this or our podcasts, people find a lot of really good information that'll be helpful. And through the course of the year, we get to talk to folks like Hispanic Veterans Leadership Alliance and others who are really trying to deal with the issues raised by you know, sort of sub communities in the veteran population.
Right. I mean, you know, not everybody's not everybody's the same. I mean, the veteran community is like the regular American community. It's everybody. And I don't think people kind of realize that. We're going to take a real quick break. And when we do come back, I saw that we do have Mark Ulrich ready on the phone. So come on in, give us a call. Number is 734-822-1600. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Private Dale Hansen killed 12 Japanese soldiers in a one-man attack on their positions. Details after this.
They came from every corner of the country, from small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines, a tough and determined few dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Hansen unhesitatingly took the initiative during a critical stage of the action and, armed with a rocket launcher, crawled to an exposed position where he attacked and destroyed a strategically located hostile pillbox. With his weapon subsequently destroyed by enemy fire, he seized a rifle and continued his one-man assault. Reaching the crest of a ridge, he opened fire on 6 Japanese and killed 4 before his rifle jammed. Attacked by the 2 remaining Japanese, he beat them off with the butt of his rifle and then climbed back to cover. Returning with another weapon and supply of grenades, he fearlessly advanced and destroyed a strong mortar position and annihilated 8 more of the enemy.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. Even small actions can make a world of difference. If you know a veteran in crisis, please call the Veterans Crisis Line, 800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, you shuffle to the left, shuffle to the right. Shuffle around the circle till your head feels light. Shuffle down the hall till you see the sign. And you're back where you started at the end of the line. Just do the V.A. Shuffle.
V.A. Shuffle.
V.A. Shuffle.
Well, we always on Veterans Radio like talking to veterans who are in the business world. And throughout the year, we always get a chance to talk to quite a few of them. We have on the line one new friend of Veterans Radio, Mark Aldridge. He served in the Army, did 14 years. He's got three combat tours. He's in law enforcement. But his side gig, which is more than a side gig, is a business called J-Dog Junk Removal and Hauling and Demolition. Mark, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Congratulations to yourself and your counterparts on 19 years, and best of luck in another 19 years.
Well, we're certainly doing everything we can. We'll bringing in the next generation of folks to help out. But I really think J-Dog is a great business with a great mission. Tell us about the mission.
So our sole goal is to get the veteran unemployment rate under 1%. So we're trying to hire as many veterans as possible. And we use as many organizations as possible to do that. One is the VA, the Compensated Work Transition Program, the CWT, where we've currently hired two physically disabled veterans to come on board and be our dispatchers. So whenever you call us, they are the first voice that you're here. And second, we take a sustainable approach to everything we do. We're 60 to 80% of all items we haul away from our jobs, be it through junk removal or demolition, are we used or recycled. Aggregates are pushed back into raw materials and back into manufacturing. And we're averaging around 5% of everything we haul away from our jobs and ending up in the landfill, which is significantly reducing the amount that's ending up in our landfills versus our competitors.
Again, it's a great concept. It's a business that can put veterans to work. Many of these, this is a franchise that are, as I understand it, are owned by veterans. And so you're employing, owned and operated by veterans. Really a great concept, Mark. Tell us a little bit about how, if somebody's interested in and has a need for the services, what's the website? How do they get in touch with you?
So first and foremost, they can call our 844 number. It's 844-GET-GET-JDOG, J-D-O-G, or locally at 734-968-7107, or they can go to www.jdogjunkremoval.com, and that's how they can get a hold of us.
Well, that's we really appreciate you calling in, telling us a little bit about J-Dog. We appreciate the good wishes for the future, and we look forward to continuing to work with J-Dog Junk Removal and Hauling and Demolition. Great business, Mark, and we wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you very much. And just look for, in January, we're starting up a whole floor and carpet cleaning, power washing side of the house. So hopefully we can employ even more good work for the community and our customers.
Oh, that's great. We look forward to seeing your growth. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you very much. And once again, congratulations on 19 years.
Thank you. Well, again, a good example, Dale, of, you know, our chance to tell veteran business stories. Certainly, National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, our national sponsor, is full of those kind of stories of business owners, veteran business owners who got certified. and then we get a chance to talk to some of their members or talk to its leadership, like Keith King. So just another aspect of Veterans Radio that makes the year go by really fast, doesn't it?
It does. It certainly does. And I think, you know, the idea of these veterans starting their own businesses is just, to me, it's exciting, because so many of us, and this is more directed toward our civilian audiences, are, you know, some of us were, you know, young, 19, 20, 21 years old and so forth, but we have been allowed to learn how to, you know, be crew chiefs, to be mechanics, to be computer experts, to be pilots and everything along those lines. And it's just so amazing when you think about the transitioning out of the service, you know, into the civilian world. In fact, I talked to, was reading an article this morning. I think it was in the New York Times, maybe. No. It was in the Detroit Free Press, because they were talking about eliminating one of the runways at the old city airport. And this guy was learned how to fly at the Coleman Young training program. The Tuskegee Airmen have a program out there to train inner city kids on how to become pilots. So this guy became a pilot right out of high school, went into the military, ended up flying jets in the military. He's now a captain with American Airlines. And, yep. You know, I one of my very good friends learned computers when he was in the service. And this was back in the late 60s and early 70s. He ended up working, you know, for a computer company. And he was way ahead of it. This is what they told me. You know more than the people coming out of colleges and universities.
Well, they give young men and women a lot of responsibility early on that they wouldn't normally get in the civilian world. And you mentioned veterans going into business and how that's changed. One of the Veteran Radio America board members, Dr. Eric Fretz, is an instructor in entrepreneurship at the University of Michigan, but really travels the world and has with teaching business and leadership and entrepreneurship. And it's one of the more popular veteran courses, because there's a lot of that energy, a lot of that. I want to be the guy at the pointy end of the spear, even if that's a business spear. Eric Fretz does a lot of that. It's very interesting. Again, these are things which we get to talk about. I'm going to transition to one more. I got to get in because it's got a time deadline, which is the George W. Bush Center down in Texas. Every president has their own center or library. The Bush Center has a leadership program every year, and I just had the opportunity to interview somebody about that. I'll post that interview later this month, but it has a time deadline on applying for, this is a free, 5 months, 3 days a month in Dallas. They fly you to Dallas, they put you up, they take care of everything. And for this cohort of leaders, they'll bring in secretaries of defense and VA and world-class business folks to talk about ethical leadership, all paid for, no cost to the veteran. So I would encourage people, if they think that type of program may be of interest to them, it's bushcenter.org/standto. And that Bush leadership window of applications for 2023 closes on January 18th, 2023. And the program runs the summer months, essentially, of 2023, 5 months. I think it begins in May. But a very cool leadership program that I think would really be transformative for people. They're encouraging veterans to apply. You don't have to be a veteran, but they'd like to have a mixed class so that they're dealing with the military-civilian divide. So bushcenter.org/standto if you're interested in that kind of leadership program, and it fits right into this whole idea of being in business and leading instead of following. So I wanted to get that in because of the time deadline.
Well, that certainly is another important issue that, to our audience, you can go to our website, veteransradio.net. Just type in on the search engine up there is, you know, Eric Fretz, and he's done a number of programs on veteran entrepreneurship and also a number of colleges around the country that are now offering veteran studies programs, and they deal with not only business, but there are also psychological studies that are going on. There's so much going on around the world right now, especially here when they're looking at veterans and how they can make a transition. They're looking at veterans and how they can help them make that transition from the military to a civilian life, and also to help veterans who are having some issues. You know, not only the burn pits of this generation or the Agent Orange of my generation. They're also looking at some of the psychological things that, you know, it's not easy being in the military many times. And today's veterans are a little older. They're much more educated, and there are many opportunities for them to make that transition from the military to become business leaders is what they're looking for. I'm sure that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, let me jump on that idea that we're on Veterans Radio, we're dealing with today's issues. We may have a lot of authors on, we may have a lot of historians on. That stuff's really fascinating. Most of us don't know why we were doing what we were doing because we didn't see the big picture when we were in. We now get to read it, or the historians get to explain it to us. But the, you know, there are a lot of current issues that have to be dealt with, and we deal with here on Veterans Radio. The burn pit issue that was addressed in large measure by President Biden by signing the PACT Act is one of them. We've talked a lot about that over the last couple of months because it's so significant to today's veterans. But another exposure is to PFAS, which is sometimes called the forever chemical that was in a firefighting foam used on the Air Force all over the place in the flight lines and in the Navy ships. And we had a great interview that just got posted with Representative Alyssa Slotkin on what Congress has to do and how you got to get Congress to move on a new toxic exposure problem like PFAS. So it's great that we can do not only the historical stuff, Dale, but what's currently impacting veterans today. So, wanted to bring that back around to everybody's attention.
That is obviously is important. We do a benefits program every month. The last Sunday of every month, we talk about benefits, health care, what is available at your local VA, how to get benefits that you are entitled, you know, if you are entitled to them, how to get those benefits. In fact, and I don't remember if I did this already or not, but there was a question that I got about, especially the, you know, all these lawyers are, Jim is a lawyer, but he's a good lawyer. He's a good guy. All these lawyers trying to go after all these people that might have been exposed to the water at Camp Lejeune. And yeah, there's a lot of rumors going on. We got about 3 minutes.
There is the advertising. We're running out of time. We'll talk about this another time. But the advertising that's going on over Camp Lejeune water exposure makes you sick, right? You can't stand seeing it all. The Camp Lejeune Justice Act was part of the PACT Act signed by President Biden in August, and that's why this explosion of advertising has occurred. There's a process to make a claim, and if that claim doesn't get approved, then you have an opportunity to actually sue the government under that act, which is really rare. You normally can't sue the government for what happened to you in service. This is really a rare opportunity, and it also has a limited window. The window ends, you have to make your claim by August of 2024. So that's why there's this flurry of activity between now and 2024. We don't have enough time, Dale. I'll leave it there. But I have had the chance to interview somebody. We'll have some programming up on this that tries to explain it.
Okay. And the other thing is to, for our veteran community, is watch out. Check on things, ask questions, you know, they're after you for some reason. And most of the time they're after you for their share of whatever benefits you may be entitled to.
And so there's time. The whole point here is there's time. You don't have to do it today. We do have to do it by August of 2024, but you know, that's 20 months from now. Don't feel pressure. You got to do it today.
Right. And we will be addressing this issue when I know Jim's got a podcast coming up about this, and we will address the issue again during our benefits program at the end of the month. We're coming up against the end of the clock here. I got 2 minutes to go. So I just wanted to make sure that we thank everybody that's been involved in Veterans Radio over the last 19 years as we go into this 20th year, which is just, it's amazing to me. And I'm so thankful for the people that have been involved in the past and that are getting more involved today. And it's a great feeling to be able to share the stage with people like Jim and some of our other, you know, our board members, the Eric Fretzes, the Kate Melchers, who have experience working in the veterans community, either helping them or, you know, helping them get, you know, realize their dreams. And this is, you know, what we want to try and do here. I mean, we, you know, we can't be all things to all people, but we are trying to get as much information out to our audience as possible. That's our mission, is to tell veterans stories, to help veterans out, make sure that veterans are never forgotten, and that we want you to know how important you are to all of us here at Veterans Radio. You are, we're our comrades. You're still our comrades. And we thank you all for your, you know, as trite as it sounds sometimes, we really do thank you for your service. We couldn't do this without you. So we're coming up on the end of the program. Jim, we got about 10 seconds, I'm sure. Anything you'd like to say?
I just echo thanks, everybody. All the veterans who have allowed us to tell their stories over the years. We are honored to talk to Medal of Honor recipients and E1s and privates and generals and sergeants. Everybody out there has been great in allowing us to help tell their stories so that the wider audience may understand what veterans do when they're in the military and encourage future folks.
All right. So until next week, you are dismissed.